She had been trained in general covert fieldwork, but they had virtually been bred for it, Janeering and Nanonic supplements combining to make them formidable fighting machines. Dean Folan was in his mid-30s, a quiet, ebony-skinned man with the kind of subtle good looks most of the Janeered enjoyed. He was only medium height, but his limbs were long and powerful, making his torso look almost stunted by comparison. It was the boosted muscles which did that, Jenny knew. His silicon-fiber-reinforced bones had been lengthened to give him more leverage and more room for implants. Will Danza fitted people's conception of a modern-day soldier. 25, tall, broad, with long, sleek muscles. He was an old Prussian warrior genotype, blonde, courteous, and unsmiling. There was an almost psychic essence of danger emanating from him. You didn't tangle with him in any tavern brawl, no matter how drunk you were. Jenny suspected he didn't have a sense of humour. But then he'd seen action in covert missions 3 times in the last 3 years. She'd accessed his file when the jungle mission was being assembled. They had been tough assignments. One had earned him 8 months in hospital being rebuilt from cloned organs, and an emerald star presented by the Duke of Salian, Alistair II's first cousin, and chairman of the Kulu Privy Council's Security Commission. He had never talked about it on the journey upriver. The nature of the jungle started to change around them. Tightly packed bushy trees gave way to tall, slender trunks with a plume of feather fronds 30 meters overhead. A solid blanket of creepers tangled the ground, rising up to hug the lower third of the tree trunks like solid conical incrustations. It increased their visibility dramatically, but the horses had to pick their hoofs up sharply. High above their heads, venals leapt between the trees in incredible bounds, streaking up the slim trunks to hide in the foliage at the top. Jenny couldn't see how they clung to the smooth bark. After another 40 minutes they came to a small stream. She dismounted in slow, tender stages and let her horse drink. Away in the distance she could see a herd of danderil bounding away from the trickle of softly streaming water. White clouds were rolling in from the east. It would rain in an hour, she knew. Dean Folan dismounted behind her, leaving Will Danza sitting on his horse, keeping watch from his elevated vantage point. All three of them were dressed identically, wearing a super-strength olive-green one-piece anti-projectile suit, covered with an outer insulation layer to diffuse beam weapons. The lightweight armor fitted perfectly, with an inner sponge layer to protect the skin. Thermal shunt fibers, woven into the fabric, kept body temperature to a preset norm, which was a real blessing on Lalonde. If they were struck by a projectile slug, the micro-valency generators around her waist would activate, solidifying the fabric instantly, distributing the impact, preventing the wearer's body from being popped by automatic fire. Jenny's only regret was that it didn't protect her from saddle sores. The body armor was complemented by a shell helmet, which fitted with the same tight precision as the suit. It gave them all an insect appearance, with its wide goggle lenses and a small central V-shaped air filter vent. The collar had a ring of optical sensors which could be accessed through neural mnemonics, giving them a rear-view capability. They could even survive underwater for 30 minutes with its oxygen recycling capacity. The stream was muddy, its stones slimed with algae, none of which seemed to bother the horses. Jenny watched them lapping it up and requested a drink from her shell helmet. She sucked ice-cold orange juice from the nipple as she reviewed their location with help from the inertial guidance block. When Dean and Will swapped position, she datavised the armor suit's communications block to open a scramble channel to Murphy Hewlett. The ESA team had split up from the Confederation Navy Marines after leaving the Issa Corps. Acting separately, they thought they stood a better chance of intercepting one of the sequestrated colonists. "We're 8 kilometers from Oconto," she said. No hostiles or locals encountered so far.